Today's lesson is from Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Be careful not to display your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners, so they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. One of the questions we ask ourselves is, why Ash Wednesday? Oh, I thought the roof was creaking. I thought maybe God was saying that my sermon wasn't going to be good enough. Okay. To be honest, it is a tremendous relief for us each year for just an hour to let our guard down. To get real, take stock with ourselves, with Almighty God, and with one another, that's a grace and a gift. This day is given for each of us to have the opportunity to say, you know what, I really don't have this. You know what, I'm not as put together as I seem. Or to fess up and confess, at least to God, I really screwed up. In a relationship, in my behavior, at work, or at home. It is a tremendous relief to say those words together with others who are in the same boat. We are in the same company, good company. We're not isolated nor alone in our failings. There's camaraderie. We have all missed it. Missed our goal. We missed being the person or people we hoped to be, thought we were, aspired to become. And if you look at the Hebrew word for sin, it quite literally means to miss the mark. That's why we have Ash Wednesday, and for that matter, every opportunity to confess and receive reconciliation, for starting anew, trying again, giving it another run at our life together in the community of Jesus. My daughter has started to demand that we hold hands in the living room and start singing this song, Ring Around the Rosy. And as we come to the end, we say, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. And of course, this is just a children's rhyme and has very little meaning to her other than getting to watch her parents fall down and then try to stand back up again as quickly as she does. But the truth is, we all fall down. Ash Wednesday is a time when we get to consider the end of that song. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. We come to be vulnerable. We come to admit our mistakes. Because even though we all fall down, we also all hold one another up. We come seeking to clean up the mess that is our lives, to begin again. The story of the prodigal son is familiar to most of us. And this is also the story of our journey, 40 days traveling back to the waiting Father, who's waiting to receive us, renew us, wash the dirt off of us. That's the Easter we look forward to. Resurrection, reconciliation, and new beginnings. The prophet Joel said, "Even now, return to me with all your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." But you'll notice if we are returning to the Lord, it means that we have been there before. We return to nothing else but our baptism, whether that was a few days ago, a few years ago, or decades ago. We return to Christ, the one who first marked us with that cross on our brow. And no matter what the words were spoken, the message was, "I love you." That's what repentance means, to turn around and go back, to go back to that word of love. So we are called to be reconciled. Reconciled to God, reconciled to each other, most importantly and most difficultly, reconciled to ourselves. As we work together with God, don't accept that grace from God in vain. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. This night we are invited into Lent. In the history of the Christian church, Ash Wednesday was originally the day when penitent believers would be expelled from the community as a temporary excommunication, in order to prepare for Easter. These who were wishing for baptism would be allowed to stand outside the church building and ask people walking past for their prayers. As the weeks drew on, they'd be allowed inside the doors, but not into the sanctuary. Then in time, into the sanctuary, but would be required to kneel throughout the whole service, a sign of repentance. Later, they could stand with the congregation, but had to leave before communion. And then finally, as Easter came, they would be baptized and fully members of the body of Christ that was the church. Centuries later, these strict rules have been removed and replaced with spiritual disciplines: prayer, scripture reading, fasting, giving to the poor. But throughout all the centuries, since the earliest days, ashes have been placed on the foreheads of Christians as they were sent from church on the Wednesday beginning Lent. Ash Wednesday is, after all, a time for us to reflect on the quality of our faith and life. Since the Old Testament, ashes have suggested judgment and God's condemnation of sin, our mortality, our total dependence on God for life, humiliation and repentance. We are reminded of the words from the burial service: earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. even as we remember that one day those same words will be said over us. But ashes also suggest cleansing and renewal. Has anyone here ever made soap from scratch? It must be an Ohio thing. Okay, we've got at least one person. So, to make soap, you take lye and mix it with animal fat. But to get lye, you either go to the store and buy a carton of it, or to do it the real from scratch way, you build a fire, take a shovel and get all the ashes out of the pit, put them in a rain barrel, and as the rain filters through the ashes, the liquid that comes out will be caustic lye. You mix that with animal fat, and you'll have soap. I would make it every year with a member of my home congregation growing up, and take that experience and that practice with me. I think maybe we should do that with our youth sometime. Teach them hard work. But ashes suggest cleansing. They suggest renewal. Even before soap was widely used, people would take the ashes from their fireplaces and scrub down the floors, using the ashes the same way we now use dish soap or Comet. Ashes have always been thought of as a penitential substitute for the waters of baptism, because water can both stifle and refresh. It can drown and make alive. So too, ashes tell of both death and renewal. In Jesus' time, fields were burned in the spring before the planting took place. So what seems like an ending is really an invitation to a new beginning. The burned crops would nourish the soil and give new life. Do we have anybody who knows what the word Lent actually means? Any German speakers? Lent just means be really sad for a long time. It's from the German for be sad for a long time. No, it's the German for spring, springtime. So God has given us North Dakotans a rare glimpse of springtime today on this first day in Lent. New beginning. So as Jess was saying, Lent's kind of hard to explain. It's actually, it's really hard to explain and really easy. You just say that Lent means springtime. That's what we are in. We are in not the winter of our discontent, but the springtime of our souls. Dear friends in Christ, there is a promise for us too, and that promise is that out of ashes will come new life. When we are in the fire, Christ is right there with us. Forgiveness for you rises out of the ashes of your past. The winter of your sins will come to an end. Get ready for it. Lent can sometimes be a depressing sort of season, a devastating place to be, but it is precisely here that Christ comes. When we are weeping, Christ weeps with us, and hell won't get the final word. Not ever. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? What could ever separate us from the love of Christ? Well, the answer, of course, is nothing. Nothing in all creation. Nothing in the world. That's the power of the gospel. Nothing that happened yesterday. Nothing that happened 20 years ago. Nothing that you didn't tell anybody about yet. Not that sin that you're thinking about right now that God couldn't possibly forgive. It comes to us on Ash Wednesday, and sometimes the gospel sounds like a bit of a tragedy, but it can be a comedy and a fairy tale too. Too good to be true sometimes. So unbelievable that in fact it must be true. We will not be defined by the ashes and the rubble, but by restoration. For we are a people of the resurrection. We know the end of the story, and Easter is coming. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have opened the springtime of the church, that you face us toward the resurrection, that you fill us with your promises and send us forth both in penitence and in joy. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this day, that we would be for you the light of the world. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.